From NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm here with Katie Presley, and we're about to talk with Kathleen Hanna. In 1990, Kathleen Hanna started a revolution in the form of a band called Bikini Kill.
We're Bikini Kill, and we want revolution! Girls don't know!
Along with Toby Vail, Kathy Wilcox, and Billy Caron, this band was an American feminist punk band from Olympia, Washington. Their impact and the Riot Girl movement they were a part of raised awareness and was a call to action for young women in music, highlighting our culture's perception of rape, racism, domestic abuse, and overall shining a light on how women are treated as less than equals in our culture. They did it with brash music and outrageous performances. Next month, September 22nd to be exact, Bikini Kill will issue their first body of work, Revolution Girl Style Now, for the first time digitally and on CD and on vinyl. It was only a self-released cassette till now.
We basically just made them to try to get shows. That was the purpose. They weren't really for sale. We'd mail them to promoters and be like, do you have a band we could open for? We're going to be on tour these dates. It was really about booking tours.
So was the decision to start re-releasing music, Bikini Kill's music at all, and start the record company purely archival, or did you feel like people need to hear from Bikini Kill again? Was there something in culture and the way that things are that made you feel like it was time to bring it back?
I really want to say, yeah, you know, because the 90s are back and, you know, people are talking about Riot Girl and critiquing it in new and interesting ways that we were like, hey, let's, you know, make sure that we're a part of this conversation. But honestly, the label just Kill Rock Stars, which was a great label for us for almost 20 years, started by our friend Slim Moon, who was the only person we knew who had any money or any business acumen. And we went to him and said, will you start a record label and put our music out? Then 20 years later, someone else was running the label. And our catalog wasn't really being taken care of. And nobody at the label really seemed to care about our music anymore. And it was just sitting there. So we took our music back. We just kind of decided, why are we having this other label that doesn't care about our music put out our music?
Yeah.
So it was more of a decision just like, okay, our music's either going to just stop being put out, like they're, or somebody's got to put it out. And so we just were like, we should do it.
Now that it's coming out, do you think it's a good time? What do you think the impact will be of having Bikini Kill music in the world right now?
Well, what I've seen so far, like, because I lecture and because I'm in another band that tours, like, you know, I'm seeing so many younger girls who are just getting into Bikini Kill for the first time, and it's really resonating with them, which is strange because I'm like, wow, this music's so old, you would think that the ideas wouldn't be relevant to them anymore. But sadly, you know, sexism is just as relevant as it ever was. And a lot of, you know, high school girls are having the same issues all around the world, you know, of bullying and being called gender-based slags and stuff like that and being treated like they're stupid. And, you know, I think when they come to the music, a lot of times they're like, wait a minute, someone else feels this way? I thought I was the only person. And
yeah.
I've met so many young girls who have formed friendships based on the music. And to me, that's like one of the coolest things is having one girl say, hey, check this out, and sending another girl an MP3 or, and then another girl being like, wait, what?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Women supporting women, like girls saying they can do whatever they want. Like, this is weird. And then those girls becoming friends and then them kind of becoming a larger friend circle. The same way you do in high school. It's all about music. It's like kids who are into, you know, backpack rap and kids who are into indie rock and kids who are into hardcore and kids who are into speed metal. You know what I mean? Like, that's how a lot of times in high school kids kind of delineate themselves from each other, and kind of cool to think, oh, we're the feminist punks.
Right. Yeah, it brought people together then. It brings people together now.
Right. It's about music, but it's about community, right? I mean, that's what the fanzine was. That's what you did. And how do you feel about the impact? You look at it now. You hear this stuff again as an older person.
I don't know. It's hard because it's like I can't really think about it too much. I mean, sometimes for me, the impact stuff that's really weird is when I open a Time magazine that calls Michelle Obama Girl Power.
Yeah.
Our second fanzine was called Girl Power.
Yeah, that phrase went on a journey after that.
Exactly. And people don't usually attribute that to Bikini Kill, but that is pretty much where it came from. And then it became a Spice Girls thing. And then things like that where it's like, oh, you know, the U.S. women's soccer team being called Girl Power and a poster that says Girl Power with the soccer team on it. And I'm thinking back to the fanzine, and I kind of chuckle. And I remember when I was younger feeling more like, I'm being ripped off. I'm not getting paid for this. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And now I'm just kind of like, oh, wow, how cool to have been a part of something that seeped into mainstream culture and in all of its forms has taken so many different kind of journeys. In the underground music world has had one life, and in the mainstream world has had another life. So I'm super proud of it. I just try to not get too big of a head.
Sure.
And sometimes when I think about that kind of music that's really, really brash and bold, in some ways, the last thing that music and people who make that music want to do is become part of the mainstream culture. It's exactly, you know, the opposite in some ways.
Yeah.
Yet you also want to make an impact. And
right.
So talk a little bit about the dichotomy of like being part of the mainstream culture in something that was kind of a revolution against the mainstream culture. Mm-hmm. Like, did you actually
That's a really, really interesting question. Because it's like part of my mission as a 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old, well, 19 when I started my band before Bikini Kill, part of my mission was that I worked at a domestic violence rape relief shelter, and I was being told by guys in the scene, the independent music scene, that sexism didn't exist anymore, and I was being told by mainstream magazines and TV that sexism didn't exist, and we lived in a post-feminist society, and part of my mission was to use the music to go out on the road and kind of, you know, Pied Piper the message that feminism is still important. And that was something on the underground, but I really feel that I learned about punk rock on TV, on a late night TV show called Night Flight. I learned about gender bending on Don Kirshner's rock concert, watching David Bowie's video, I Am a DJ, you know, and so I don't have anything against the mainstream. I feel like it's not fair to kids who like myself. Like, I didn't have access to Minor Threat even though I only lived 3 miles away from them. I had no knowledge that whole DC punk thing was happening, but I lived literally 3 miles away from where that whole scene was taking place. But I was in junior high and I listened to, you know, Van Halen and stuff like that, and Molly Hatchet.
I'm so sorry.
I wasn't cool. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't into punk rock. I didn't know about it. And I saw this stuff on TV, and that's what got me interested. I was like, I want that. I want something to do that. Or hearing, you know, Joan Jett singing Crimson and Clover on the radio and not changing the pronoun from male to female, and thinking, wait, what? And wanting to, you know, like, listen to that over and over, and getting the cassette and rewinding it and being like, she said she.
Exactly my reaction.
What does that mean? You know what I mean? So, like, I look at things happening now and the influence that Bikini Kill and that all the other feminist musicians have had on culture, and I see Beyonce last year, or was it 2 years ago at the VMAs?
With
feminism or feminist bright lights behind her doing this incredibly amazing, bizarre, sexy performance and putting out songs like If I Was a Boy and If Girls Ruled the World and stuff like that. And I'm like, this is great. Like, I'm not at all like, this is only for us. I think that's the part of punk that I don't like is that it can become another set of rules.
There's
in opposition to the mainstream, and whenever you're trying to be the opposite of something, you're just reinforcing it. So we've got to be something totally different.
Right.
That I love that.
Yeah. Is like a third thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That kind of acknowledges that, like, you know, hey, maybe there's something about this kind of, this pop music I don't like, but there's this thing about this pop music I love.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't necessarily love the major label system, but I love some of Beyonce's songs, and I love what she's doing with her notoriety.
So
I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, no, very beautifully.
Gorgeously.
So you're talking about Beyonce. You're talking about artists of today. You are an artist of today, as you mentioned earlier. You're in the Julie Ruin, which is a current band right now. What do you think has changed in your message musically from Bikini Kill to the Julie Ruin? What do you see as your mission? What is the Julie Ruin about? What did you carry from Bikini Kill to now?
In Bikini Kill, while I was singing very much about my personal experiences, I think I didn't feel safe enough, or like I didn't want to be vulnerable enough to actually be like, these are my personal experiences, and I would universalize a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would sing a lot of stuff that was directed towards the audience,
yep.
You know, like,
yes.
Double dare you, girlfriend. I double
girlfriend,
dare you to,
yeah,
do what you want. But challenging people to participate in the scene who weren't typically being welcomed, and trying to create a welcoming environment for people who weren't typically welcomed. And now I feel like a lot of that work has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I can write about whatever I want to write about. And some of it still has to do with, you know, oppression in the universe and oppression in my life. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, I really feel like I've earned just being a person in a band, not knowing what a song's going to be about, mm-hmm, and letting it become what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a really fun process, to be able to find a really nice balance between the content and the technical. Whereas before I was so focused on the content, and now I'm also really interested in the technical aspects of singing and of the music and of songwriting, and allowing myself that pleasure. I hadn't really thought of that stuff as being pleasurable,
mm-hmm,
before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and saying, hey, you know, yeah, I'm a feminist musician, but I'm a musician.
Yep.
I've been doing this for 25 years. I actually kind of do know what I'm doing, and I really, really enjoy being on stage, and I love attention, clearly. So it's like, I'm just sort of letting myself have a good time with my friends and be in a band, and not feeling like I have to do this public service. And the public service is that if people relate to what I'm singing about and feel like, wow, somebody else has gone through or is going through something similar, mm-hmm, as me, and this makes me feel validated, that's great. But it's not necessarily, my goal isn't everything's for the audience.
How are you feeling? You've had to cancel tours. You've had such a health, without going deep detail.
Yeah.
But what's in your future? What are you going to do, and how are you feeling?
I feel great. I'm in what they call remission from, mm-hmm, late stage Lyme disease.
Great.
And I just got back from Norway four days ago. I'm visiting with my family, getting up at 6 a.m, going for boat rides. Like, I'm having a great time. I feel so re-energized, and just going out on stage with my band and dancing around under the hot lights. I almost, right before I go on stage, it's really hard not to bawl my eyes out, because I just think of the past basically 10 years of going through this autoimmune illness, and being in and out of bed and in and out of doctor's offices and having an IV hooked into my arm. And now here I am in Oslo, going out on stage, you know, singing these songs and watching two girls cry in the front row. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so, I mean, I'm not happy they're crying,
yeah,
I'm touched by it.
They're crying because they're,
like,
happy.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're crying because they're happy, but you definitely see people cry because they're moved,
mm-hmm,
by the,
absolutely,
you know, hopefully by the songs, not by my crazy outfits. But I just feel so thrilled and so lucky. And I think, having been somebody who wasn't sick a lot and then who got very, very ill, it definitely gave me an appreciation I didn't have before. And it made me really know, like, this is what I want to do. This,
yep,
is what I was born to do.
Yep.
Well, welcome to your second life. Yeah. We look forward to following it. And thank you.
Thank you.
You'll have to come by sometime and do something here at NPR with us.
Oh, my gosh.
We would like that.
I'll make you a pie.
Oh, it would be wonderful.
Come visit us. We've got swag.
Well, you're not a true older New York lady without your NPR book bag.
That's right.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Well, thank you guys so much.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. Cheers.
Bye.
Kathleen Hanna of Bikini Kill, Le Tigre, and of course the Julie Ruin. Their former demo tape, Revolution Girl Style Now, comes out September 22nd. It comes out not just on cassette this time, but it comes out on CD, on vinyl, and digitally. I'm Bob Boylan, along with Katie Presley for NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.